You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
It has been more than 20 years since school choice became an option for Michigan families. It stemmed from the adoption of Proposal A and allowed students to switch to any district that would accept them. A new report in Bridge Magazine finds over 300,000 students, that's more than 20% of Michigan's K through 12 students, go to classes in either a charter school or a public school district that is different from the one in which they live. And as reporters Mike Wilkinson and Chastity Pratt-Dossie of Bridge Magazine discovered, school choice is becoming Metro Detroit's new white flight. Mike and Chastity are with us now. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
Hello, Cynthia.
Defenders of school choice say, hey, hold on here. We're empowering parents, black, white, whatever, to find something better for their kids than what they see as a failing local school. But then what are we seeing as a byproduct of having these families voting with their feet, Mike?
Well, what's happened is the parents are choosing places that either by accident or design are less diverse than the ones in which their students live on, you know, most of the day. They're leaving during the day to take classes and get educated in a district that is typically more white. It is less poor than the one in which they live. The parents will say they're going to a school that has better test scores, that there's less violence, they feel safer. So the things that almost no parent could ever deny would be valid reasons to leave. What is happening is that we're seeing more and more schools that do not reflect the community where those kids live. You're seeing school districts that the school age population, let's say, is 50% white, but the schools themselves are 35% white. Where did that 15% go? Well, some went to private schools. But what we've noticed is, especially in Metro Detroit, but it does extend beyond the state, they're going to districts nearby that are whiter, that are less diverse, that are less poor. And we're creating, you know, some racial isolation pockets where there probably should not have been. For example, you know, a decade ago, there were 38 school districts in the state where more than half the kids were not white, a majority-minority school district. Well, last year there were 55, and that doesn't include the fact that we dissolved Buena Vista and Inkster. And the number of charter schools where you had the majority-minority situation went from 119 to 182. So parents are choosing to self-segregate, are choosing to create these schools where, you know, there isn't the diversity that is reflected within the communities.
Chastity, what are your thoughts and what are you finding as far as what education experts think? Let's talk about the kids. What are the kids losing by not being educated near their neighbors?
Well, when you have school districts across Michigan, across the nation saying, look, we're preparing our students for a global society to be, you know, competitive on a global scale, that requires diversity. And what we're seeing in some districts, let's take Ferndale, for example. Ferndale had two elementary schools, one white, one black. And they say, look, this is not how children should learn. They should learn from each other. They should learn side by side. This has to end. And educationally, you know, socializing is a form of education. Learning about other people's culture and learning from each other, that's part of being an educated, globally educated person. So Ferndale made the decision to say, look, we have one elementary school, it's majority black, and one that's majority white. This is not helping these children to be globally competitive, to be, you know, learning in a diverse setting and learning what it's like to learn with other people. So they're merging. They did merge this fall, those two schools, because it's educationally what's best for kids. And you'll see that from educators saying, look, you know, we've got to do this. It's what's best for kids.
But there's also an issue, speaking of Ferndale, with the high schools, Chastity.
Yeah, in Ferndale, they have a high school that draws nearly all of its students from Detroit, and all but two of the kids there last year were African American, whereas Ferndale High School is it's still majority African American, but they don't draw as many kids from Detroit. And so Ferndale, again, it's that district, entering district, that opened its border to students from Detroit, but is also understanding that they're experiencing some white flight, they're experiencing some segregation within the schools, and they want to reverse that in order to educate all kids together, side by side, in a way that's going to be educationally beneficial to everyone. So that's one of the few districts that has taken this issue on head on, noticed it, recognized it, called it by its name, segregation, and said, look, let's do something about this.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Bridge Magazine reporters Chastity Pratt-Dossie and Mike Wilkinson about their story, School Choice, Metro Detroit's New White Flight. You had an interesting quote caught my eye from a sociology professor at UNC, Dr. Rosalind Arlen Mickelson, on why the vision of integration, of having schools in black neighborhoods achieve equal results as schools in white neighborhoods, something that goes back decades, that vision. And here was her quote, parents don't want to make their children the sacrificial lambs on the altar of social science. Mike, what are you hearing from experts is the answer? Because she certainly doesn't seem to feel policymakers are going to recognize the benefits of diversity because they want the votes from those parents.
Well, and I think what she said, it points to the crux of what the problem is. The researchers believe that their research is very clear that having that diversity makes all kids, both the minority and the majority kid, learn better. They excel when they're in a setting where there is this diversity, not just of color, but of ideas and of background. So for them, it's really clear. But they understand, and what she was saying there, that it's such a hard sell with parents, that you can't convince the parent that the reason they're leaving is invalid, that it's going to take someone else to make that decision for them. Now, decades ago, people had the same ideas. It took the federal court to say, you know, Brown versus Board of Education, separate but equal, was not allowable in this country. I don't know if I don't think anyone is advocating for that, perhaps, but she was frustrated by the fact that policymakers, because, like you said, they need those votes. They know that there's the common sense of the parents that are thinking this, that they're not going to take her side and the research's side and come up with policies that better reflect what the research is showing.
You guys have done a lot of digging, and there's a lot of interesting statistics showing how things are changing in Metro Detroit districts, including that very cool interactive element. You plug in a district, and you can see how school choice has changed in that district. Mike, can you give us some idea of the districts where students are leaving in big numbers and the districts that are picking up new students? Because it kind of sounds like we're coming up with a list of winners and losers.
Well, what we've noticed is, and what we put on our website at bridgemi.com, is we looked at the census data. What does the school-age population look like? So you see, in a place like Lincoln Park, 62% of the kids 5 to 17 are white in Lincoln Park. The school district's only 44%. So what happened? You had 1,900 of those kids opt out to other districts. Taylor, 63% school age, 55% within the school, 1,600 kids that have left. It's happened in Macomb County, where East Detroit, you have I think 40% of the district is white, but only 19% of the school is white. And what you've seen is their number one district that they go to is Lakeview, which is in the middle of St. Clair Shores. It's 85% white right now. And they've picked up almost half the kids of their total enrollment is coming from choice. The district was declining in size demographically. Not as many people with kids were in that district. Choice was a lifeline for them. So you could call them a winner. Well, when I was at the Detroit News, we did a story and we looked at Lakeview. East Detroit, because it was losing students, had to cut its band because it just did not have the money. Well, the influx of all the students at Lakeview allowed it to then give an instrument for free to every kid in fifth grade, which is great. Music is a wonderful tool for learning. It's a great opportunity. I would argue that, well, there's a winner, and who's the loser? Where did those kids come from? East Detroit, largely, and they had to cut their music program.
You pose a great question toward the end of this really in-depth piece. Is there a better way? And Chastity, have you gotten ideas from experts as far as ways that states can have choice but set rules that don't create winners and losers?
Well, what we hear from experts such as Gary Mirren, and I'm sure you know him from Western Michigan University, the thing is this. Look, there are ways to use choice purposely to desegregate areas, purposely to ensure that there's integration. There's ways to use magnet programs. There's ways to just look at enrollment processes and enrollment, you know, just the way that people are moving. And you have to do it purposely and think about it and make sure that there's diversity. Or you could just say, like we do in Michigan, do what you want, go where you want. But the results speak for themselves. In Michigan, in the last 20 years, the biggest change that we've had in public education is choice. And now here we are. We're ranked 41st in education compared to other states. So really, the question is, do you want to use this purposely to improve education or allow parents who are not educational experts to just go here, there, everywhere and let the, you know, chips fall where they may?
The story is School Choice, Metro Detroit's New White Flight by Mike Wilkinson and Chastity Pratt Dossie. You can find it at bridgemi.com. And again, lots of interesting things packed into this story include this interactive tool so you can actually see about the district in Metro Detroit that matters to you and see how it's changed. Thanks to both of you. As always, great talking schools with you. Thank you so very much.
Anytime.
Thank you.
And that story was also a part of the Detroit Journalism Cooperative. Support for the DJC comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, Renaissance Journalism's Michigan Reporting Initiative, the Ford Foundation, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.